Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m., our very own Apostle R.D. Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. So if you would like to join us, you can dial in at 319-527-6204 for our lesson this evening. And maybe you can give your comments, your thoughts, or whatever God puts on your heart to say about the lesson. Praise be to God. So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. First, let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
Heavenly,
fire,
sing and never get And you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
A plethora of life's enigmas have incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, we proclaim you now. Majesty. Hallelujah. Lord, come upon us now. Yes, Lord. And release your power. We need your power. And let your presence fall. Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name.
Yeah. being opened right now. Hallelujah. Release your power.
Come to your rescue and give you what you need. Hallelujah. Let your presence fall. Yes, Jesus. There's worship in this room tonight. Raise your voice and cry out to the Lord. Come on, let's take it up. Y'all, take it up.
Amen. Praise be to God. Whew. Thank you, Jesus, God of mercy. Elohim Chastity, thank you for showing me your loving kindness. Thank you for granting me salvation, not only for eternal, but also in history. Thank you for speaking peace and mercy to your people, to your godly ones. Thank you for showing me mercy and empowering me to turn away from folly. I'm grateful that your truth and mercy springs from the earth and that your compassion looks down from heaven. Indeed, Elohim Chastity, you will give what is good for me and my life will yield its produce. Excuse me, mercy and peace go before you, preparing a path that I can follow. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-5 6204. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Apostle Audie Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
I'm all alone, searching for an answer to go on in this life. I'm tired of failure. I tried so many times to find my way, and I'm not sure. I'm all worn out. I'm all worn out.
Out concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all.
Yeah.
God made you the head. Thank you, cast up your wisdom for this word. By faith, receive. Say, I'm going to get mine.
The heart of his spirit takes away.
Amen. Praise be to God. El Shaddai, in your mercy and compassion, you have given me great and powerful promises. You enable me to share your divine nature and escape the world's corruption and the consequences of following my fleshly desires. Your mercy equips me to live in peace, uncontrolled by fear of harm. Through the gift of your mercy, grant me peace of mind and hearts and heart, so I will not be troubled or afraid. Your gift is from above, and it is not as the world gives. It is everlasting, and it is authentic. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Welcome. Pray one for another. Once again.
Amen.
Hello. Okay. Welcome to Pray One for Another. My name is Apostle R.D. Wiggins. And I'm a little early.
So amen. We're going to
play a song. Play a song. I like to play a song called Gotta Have a Plan.
You don't
Amen. Amen. God had a plan. Amen. We are part of that plan. This is Pray One for Another. My name is Apostle R.D. Wiggins. And truly, it's a blessing to be with you today to share the Word of God. We're studying Ryrie's Christian Theology. And we're up to chapter 28, I believe. Am I right?
Yes.
Right. And in chapter 28, did we start it? Or this is the new chapter?
This is the new chapter.
Okay, so the first thing is in relationship to Satan. What do demons do? That's what we're going to look at today. Amen. Is everybody ready, prepared, and ready?
Yes.
Amen. Did you get a chance to look at it at all?
I know
I did read some. Okay. So, the first section of Roman numeral 1, in relation to Satan. What do demons do in relation to Satan? In general, demons act as Satan's emissaries to promote his purpose to thwart the plan of God. Though Satan experiences creaturely limitation, demons extend his power and activities greatly. In fact, at times it seems that Satan enjoys omniscience and omnipresence, though in actuality he does not. It's just that the demons extend Satan's activity so much that one might think Satan himself is doing so.
Sorry.
Please mute your phones. Okay, here we go. And Ephesians 6:11-12 says, put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil, because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against rulers, against authorities, against world rulers of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So when we say what the demons do in relationship to Satan, what did you gather from that paragraph? Anyone want to talk about it?
Well, I get it, but I just want to look up emissaries, because I don't know what that word means, emissaries.
Emissary is a person sent on a special mission, usually as a diplomatic representative. Okay?
Oh, like a diplomatic representative?
A person sent on a special mission is good. That's basically it. There is no diplomacy in this situation. Okay?
Okay, so I get it. They're special mission for Satan.
What does the demon do in relationship to Satan? What did this chapter say?
The general demons act.
They act on
behalf.
They work for Satan.
Mm-hmm.
They work for Satan and. But
and they carry out his mission, whatever he gives them to do.
Most important for us to realize here in this paragraph, in fact, at times it may seem that Satan enjoys omniscience and omnipresence. What do those two words mean? Spell that word Evangelist Silver.
Omniscience.
Make sure you write it down. That's a word that you need to know.
Ever knowing. All knowing.
Now, who's talking to
them?
Are you talking out of turn?
Yes.
I'm dealing with Evangelist Hilda right now. So what does omniscient mean, Evangelist Hilda? And write the word, make sure, and then look up also omnipresent.
You can't give me both of them to do. Okay. Omniscient means a state of knowing everything.
I'm trying to show you how to say the word. What's the problem?
The problem is that when you're telling me to say it, it's like your voice just cuts off. So it's
Then say the word if there's a problem with my audio. Say the word so she can hear it. Hello?
Omniscience. You put the M on the N. It's not an M. It's omniscience.
Omniscient.
Right.
Okay, it's
like
close
sin.
Enough. Go ahead.
Like say sin.
Sin.
When you say S-I-N-C-E, sin.
Sin.
Like since you've been.
Omniscient.
Right. Like since you've been away. Omniscient.
Right. Okay, close enough. Go ahead. Because my tongue ties up the word, and then when they
what does the word mean?
It means all knowing, a person that knows everything.
So in here it says, in fact, at times it what? It may what?
Promote.
It may seem that Satan enjoys omniscience. Isn't that what it says? Are you reading the read in relationship to Satan?
To promote his purpose to thaw the plan of God. Though Satan experienced creaturely limitations, so demons extend his power and activities greatly. In fact, at times, it may seem that Satan enjoys omniscience and
In actuality, he does not. So he may seem like he enjoys doing what? All-knowing. But he doesn't actually have that kind of power. He doesn't have he's limited. So he appears that way, but it's only because of the demon it appears that way, because he gets information from them. So, like, if you had 20 soldiers reporting to you everything, people would think you know everything, but it's not that you know everything, it's that you got 20 soldiers reporting everything to you.
Right.
You understand? Okay.
Yeah.
Good example.
Yeah.
Now, Nadine, omnipresence.
Everywhere at the same time.
So in relationship to the paragraph.
That we may think that he's everywhere at the same time, but he actually is not. But his demons are all around.
All right.
Because there's so many of them.
So man knows both good and evil, and God has a recording angels who watch when we listen to Satan and when we flirt with the devil and when we listen to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in your studies that he has a recording angel. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay. Number two. In relation to God, what do demons do in relation to God? Now, we know what they do in relation to Satan. What do they do in relation to God? All right.
That's
you can do A. Read A, Evangelist Silva.
They oppose the plan of God. Having chosen to rebel against God and side with Satan, demons continue to oppose the purposes of God in this world. So everything that is good and God wants us to do, Satan's demons opposes it. Yes? No.
That's what it says. That having chosen to rebel against God and side with Satan, demons continue to oppose purposes of God in this world. So they oppose whatever purpose God has for us in this world. This is
right.
Daniel, Book of Daniel 10:10-14. And look, a hand touched me and it bruised me to my knees and the palms of my hand. And he said to me, Daniel, a man beloved, pay attention to the words that I am speaking to you and stand upright where you are. For I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking with me this word, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, you must not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I myself have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia stood before me for 21 days. And look, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to assist me, and I left him there beside the king of the Persians. And I have come to instruct you about what will happen to your people in the future. So having chosen to rebel against God and side with Satan, demons continue to oppose the purpose of God in this world. So from this here, Daniel, Nadine, how would you say it relates to this sentence in section A here?
I think it shows how the angel, came
so
to Daniel.
Angel?
I think
the
it's,
demon?
Isn't it? It's not the demon talking to him. Because it says, it's the angel talking to him, because it says, I have to look at the scripture. Let's look at it in the commentary. But I think it's the angel telling Daniel that because he's been faithful to God, that this is why. Let me look at it in a, but let's look at the scripture in the commentary of Daniel. Hello?
Yeah,
yes, we're here. So that is 10.
10 through 14.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it looks like he... So it says here, 10:12, says that Daniel's prayers were heard on the first day of the three-week period, but the answer was delayed because of angelic warfare. Verses 10 and 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, a supernatural creature who tried to direct the human ruler of Persia to oppose God's plan. Evil angels seek to influence the affairs of the nations. Michael, which means who is like God, and you see that in Jude, is a special guardian of the affairs of Israel and is designated the archangel. The good angel, with Michael's help, was left in a place of premises in influence in Persia. But the battle between the good and evil angels over the control of the nation continued. So that's what that was about.
Where's Pastor?
So
he's not answering. If we're right, they oppose the plan of God.
Yeah, so that's an example of how they oppose the plan of the Israelites. So the good angel and the bad angel were, you know, at war.
Yep. Although God sent a messenger to Daniel, a powerful spiritual being, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia detained the messenger for 3 weeks, and Daniel faithfully continued praying and fasting, and God's messenger eventually arrived, assisted by Michael, the archangel. Answers to, yeah. So,
you can hear me now, right?
Yes.
All right. So, All right, so what's up? All right, so now, all right, so Nadine explained it,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, this was shows that how there was opposition in the spirit realm,
mm-hmm.
going. Let's look at Revelation. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are the spirits of demons performing signs that go out to the kings of the whole inhabited world to gather them for the battle of the great day of God and the all-powerful. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who is on the alert and who keeps his clothing so that he does not walk around naked. And they see his shame. And he gathered them to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. So we know that's where the battle is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know what their plan is as far as God is concerned. They may be used by God to carry out his purposes, though.
Mm-hmm.
So on occasion, God may use demons to further his purpose. He sent an evil spirit to stir up the people of Shechem against Abimelech in Jude 9:22. And God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the Lord of Shechem. And the lords of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. He used an evil spirit to punish Saul with a mental mm-hmm. disturbance that bordered on madness. Now the spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and evil spirit from Yahweh tormented him. He sent a deceiving spirit to control the prophets and to give Ahab the wrong advice.
I remember that.
22:22, he said, I will go out and I will be a false spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you shall entice and succeed. Go out and do so.
Mm-hmm.
He used once to afflict Paul so that he would not become overproud. Even because of the extraordinary degree of revelation, therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, in order that it would torment me so that I would exalt myself, would not exalt myself.
Mm.
Because they are the demons are accountable to God and thus can be used by him as he may desire. Because all creatures are created by God.
Mm-hmm.
So
they can't do anything unless God gives them permission to do it.
As God allows them to.
Right.
It's only until Christ returns and destroys them forever. So God only allows him to live a certain amount of time. That's for so many Christians. You have to take a lot of Christians with it. I can hear you, Daniel. I'm carrying out, all right. So now we're in relationship to religion.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so demons, what do demons do in relationship to religion? Okay, y'all ready to figure that out? They promote idolatry. In carrying out their opposition to God, demons actively try to turn men to the worship of idols. This was true in Old Testament times. In Leviticus 17:7, it says, and they may no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat idols after which they were prostituting. This is a lasting statute for them throughout their generation. sacrifice their goats, sacrifices to the goat idols after which.
Mm-hmm.
So they were sacrificing to the goats and the idols.
Yeah.
In Deuteronomy, it says, they sacrificed to the demons, not God. To God, not God.
Right.
To God, whom they had not known, new gods who came from recent times. Their ancestors had not known them. That's a good scripture, Deuteronomy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should try to get that scripture, because, you know, when you talking about how they didn't, how they committed idolatry, and they worshiped other gods. This,
mm-hmm.
It is true now in 1 Corinthians. No, but the thing which they sacrificed to demons, not to God. And
yes.
I do not want
mm-hmm.
you to become sharers with demons. And now
mm-hmm.
Paul is getting into it.
Yep.
And demons worship will apparently be widespread during the tribulation days.
Yeah.
In Revelation 9 and 20, it says, and the rest of the humanity who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands in order not to worship the demons and the gold and the silver and the bronze and the stone and the wood idols, which were able neither to see nor to hear nor to walk. So
I like that. I like the fact that this makes reference to, you know, when we say idols, but to see idols as actually demons.
We never look at it like that.
We never look at it that way. Exactly.
Right.
But here saying it's the same thing. Worshiping idols means you're worshiping demons.
Mm-hmm.
They promote false religion.
Mm-hmm.
They teach a worthless savior. John warned in his readers to test the spirits, for demons influence false human prophets. 1 John 4:1-4 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have conquered them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Y'all need to jot down that scripture.
That's beautiful.
1 John 4:4.
1 through 4.
1 John 4:4. What does it say? You are from God, little children, and have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay.
But that's, you know, when I read this, this reminds me of, like, Jim Jones. Remember when all the people committed suicide for Jim Jones?
Yeah.
You know, or a lot of these cults, they just, it's just like demons. And they thought it was great that he was taking them to that island and they were all together. I was surprised that it was, because at the time I didn't realize there was so many black people that followed that man.
Exactly.
They promote false religion. Paul also warned of this attack in the incarnation in the teachings of demons. So what does that mean? Okay. Well, in 1 Timothy 3:16-4 it says, and the most certainly great is the mystery of godliness, who was revealed in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels. Okay, when they say great is the mystery of godliness, this is actually the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
This is the gospel of Jesus. This is what the apostles taught. It was called the way.
Be careful.
Okay? So they taught that who was revealed in the flesh, God, came in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He went into the wilderness, right, for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was what? Vindicated by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Was seen by angels because they ministered to him when he threw him down.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay. Was proclaimed among the Gentiles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Was believed on in the world and taken up in glory. So he
wow.
That is actually the gospel. If you take that same scripture and you cross-reference it in other scriptures, you will see that it is listed as the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the Bible Gateway and you
what
take
scripture
that exact
was that thing. First Timothy you was reading?
That's a very
First Timothy
scripture.
3:16.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That was 16 he just read. First Timothy.
Okay.
Read
yeah.
16.
I had stepped away.
3:4 and 3:3-4.
Yes, I can read it afterwards. That's what I just wanted to know what it is. Okay. So it's 3:16. Go ahead.
Guess what scripture that we should all try to memorize, because that's a scripture that you need to pull out in order to evangelize, to do discipleship. Oh man. Take it.
You didn't finish with the 4:1-3, the coming apostasy.
All right, here it is.
You only read 16.
16, right?
Yeah, you got to read
right.
4.
I'm trying to say that First Timothy 2:1.
Okay.
2:16. 4:1-3. Yeah, I'm trying to talk to y'all, and y'all don't answer. That is rude.
I said 4:1-3. I'm talking. You can't hear me?
16:4-3. That's what I was trying to find out.
You couldn't hear me?
Never mind.
I just said you didn't read 4:1-3. You only read 16.
I know I didn't read it.
Oh, okay.
I know I didn't read it.
You good?
Let's see, 2:6. All right.
That's because I have those things there.
Who's there? All right, let me just get to 16. Because it's driving me crazy. All right, so, but in case I am declared, I write so that you will know. All right. So I really turned to this here. So it's 1 Timothy 2.
Sure, you don't need it.
this thing is like, why am I giving me such a problem? All right, here we go. So, the head, okay, in the New American Standard, it says, beyond question, great is the mystery of godliness, right? In the, if you go to the New King James, the same verse, you will find it will say, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. If we go to the New Living Translation, it'll say, without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Right? Let me see. And so let's just see what it said in the King James, the New King James Version. Yeah. Well, it used to be listed as the gospel, but without controversy, that is basically the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can all look at that. So he said that now the Spirit expressly says that latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, for forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from food, which God created to receive with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Okay? So that's another thing that we know that demons will do. Attack religion, right? So that was 16:3, 16:4-3.
No, you didn't read 4-3. You didn't read 4-1-3.
I just read it.
No. It didn't sound like it.
I just read it. You wasn't following me. I just read it.
That was the apostrophe?
That was 16:4-3. I just read it. Great apostrophe. Now the Spirit expressly says, I just read all that.
Okay.
I don't know where you was when I read it. I just did. All right. If 3:16 is a summary of truth continued in what was likely part of an early Christian hymn, then we may assume that demons attack not only the incarnation, but also the historical resurrection and ascension of the Lord. Okay? They teach a work salvation. This seems to point to 1 Timothy 4:3-4 by promoting asceticism as a good work. They replaced the grace of God with works program for salvation. Now, asceticism.
Oh, great. We just lost Pastor. Well, now we got to wait till he get back in. Okay. So he was reading, they teach a work salvation, it seems, 1 Timothy 4:3-4. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods, but God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Since everything God created good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks.
I just told him he got dropped off.
Right.
But he was still reading. He was still reading.
Goodness.
I said, you're not on.
Oh, the devil is a liar. He's trying to get his lesson, man. Every time he starts to get good, that's when he wants to attack.
Mm-hmm.
So because he don't want nobody to know about his little imp. As if nobody don't know.
He's steady going, steady beating in there.
Yeah.
Like, we can't hear you.
Because he dropped. Okay.
Yeah, he got dropped.
Now you're still trying to get back in. I don't know.
Yeah, we're in 7:40. Got 19 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess we can read. Let's see what 3 and 4 says.
Oh, 1 Timothy 4:3-4. Go ahead. I think he's coming back now.
Okay. okay.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back.
Yes.
So
thank
where
you.
We're at is asceticism. We're back. I'm back. So
mm-hmm.
we were looking up the word asceticism.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's being, where it was being used. They teach a salvation. It seems. Oh, here we go. So Paul also warned of this attack on the incarnation in the teaching of demons. If 3:16 is a summary of truth contained in what was
we read that already.
We read that.
I know. Then we may assume that demons attack only the incarnation, but also the historical resurrection and ascension of the Lord. Right. Okay. So they teach the works of salvation. This seems to be the point of 1 Timothy 4:3-4 by promoting asceticism as a good work. So the word asceticism is, it means categorically suggesting a practice of self-discipline. So, you know, that's, you know, trying to make you feel like you should be perfect.
Mm.
To fill you up with a lot of guilt. You know what I mean? That's demonic. They replace the grace of God with a works program for salvation. So, what is the difference between grace and works? Anyone?
The difference between
grace and works.
Oh, grace and.
Well, the thing is that salvation is a free gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing we could possibly do to work for salvation. And that's what God said. It's like, but there are some religions that believe that you have to work in order to be saved. So, and I know that's particularly, you know, one religion, Jehovah's Witnesses, believe that you have to work for your salvation. That's why you have to get out there and, you know, sell the books and, you know, they believe you have to work for salvation, but grace is you don't work for grace. God gives it to you. It's a free gift, salvation.
Man, that's right.
So when you listen in to folks preach, if there's no hope in their message, then it's demonic.
Amen.
You see, there has to be hope in the message of God, and that hope is grace.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because all sin and fall short of the glory of God.
Yes, we do.
But you're saved by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay? So your faith in God, in the word of God, you've got to believe, first of all, that God exist. And then you have to believe that God can do anything.
Amen.
Okay? So they teach a libertine ethic. The deep things of Satan, undoubtedly promoted by his demons, attempt to teach people that wrong is right.
Well, we didn't read 1 Timothy 4:3-4.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, we did that before.
Which forbid marrying and insist on abstaining from food that God created with sharing and with thankfulness by those who believe and who knew the, know the truth. Because everything created by God, good and by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected. It is received with thankfulness. So the thing is that, you know, you had people who promoted, you know, that was how they used to throw people off, you know, telling you, you know, you shouldn't eat this. And, you know, it's funny how all that came to pass in our, even in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Islam and, you know, not eating this and not eating that, you know. That's always been a big issue amongst the nation. And it's weird amongst religion. And it's weird because Islam, Christianity, and Judaism all start with Abraham. And no father wants to see his children fighting. Abraham didn't bring up his son to fight his brother. He brought up Ishmael in Judaism. But God said that they would be rivals. So all these things have come to pass. Because God said they would. Okay? So don't be surprised. All right? They teach a libertine ethic, meaning they're liberal in their ethic. You know, the deep things of Satan, undoubtedly promoted by his demons, attempt to teach people that wrong is right. All right? But I have to teach you that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, the one who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and deceives my slaves to commit sexual immorality and to eat food, sacrifice to idols. And I have given her time in order to repent. And she did not want to repent from her sexual immorality. Behold, I am throwing her into a sickbed, and those who committed adultery with her into great affliction. Unless they repent from her deed, I will kill her children with deadly disease, and all churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, to the rest who are in Thyatira, all those who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they say, I do not put upon you any other burden. So it's amazing to me how, like, we look at and we talk about libertine ethics in terms of knowing right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the Ten Commandments for that. I mean, that's what the precepts and everything was given to us so that we would know right from wrong.
Yes.
So the question is, we have, what do we do? You know, the thing is we have to believe in God and believe in his word and know that salvation is real. And his grace is real. And his grace is what gives us the strength to overcome the obstacles. His grace is what gives us the strength to overcome our fears. His grace is what gives us the strength to overcome our infirmities. Because we know that we are saved and heaven is our home. So what do? We read God's word and we begin to modify our behavior and shape and mold ourselves to righteousness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I hope that this was a great, you know, lesson for you.
Yes.
We talked about what do demons do in relationship to Satan? What do demons do in relationship to God? We talked about what do demons do in relationship to religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then next we'll be talking about what do demons do in relation to the nation and in relation to people.
Yep.
And I think it will be, this is a good thing because we need to know how demons attack us.
Yeah.
How they can get into people around us. Amen.
Yes.
How
Amen.
They use us.
Amen. I agree with that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So with all hearts and minds clear, just want to thank everybody for understanding and, you know, for learning along with me. I'm going to turn it over to Evangelist Hill.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, we'd like to ask our guests online to give a brief response on how they enjoyed the word, the lesson this evening. Amen.
I think that the lesson was very well taught. Mm-hmm. It was clear. And
yes.
It was just so, so, so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mind-blowing, too. But God is so good. It was so interesting. I really got a lot out of this lesson today.
Yeah, it tells us, like, the difference between, you know, false religions and God's, what God is telling us and how the demons
mm-hmm.
are attacking, you know, God's religion. To keep, you know,
mm-hmm.
like we're trying to follow what God is teaching us, you know, like his commandments
mm-hmm.
and everything. But Satan is only has a limited amount of power. So he takes his demons to do his bidding because why? He cannot be everywhere like God.
Right.
But even though he wants to be like God, but he can't.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have that kind of power. Only God has
Amen.
That power.
Right.
So I thought it was an awesome lesson. Thanks, Pastor, for clarifying and for understanding and, you know, the reading of the scriptures and, you know, what we need
mm-hmm.
to do and how we need to watch out for these type
mm-hmm.
of, you know, demons and how they, you know,
right.
sacrifice their food, their idols and things. So, you know, everything that we, how you say?
And what about the fact that we found out too that worshiping idols is worshiping demons?
That's it. That's it. Absolutely. That to me was like the best part of the lesson because I mean a lot of people don't know that when you're worshiping these things, these different idols and things, that they are demons.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right. That's right.
So. Thank you, Pastor, for this wonderful lesson this evening.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So, at this time, we're going to say God bless each and every one of you and to have a wonderful evening. And on that note, you know, if anybody have anything else to say, Pastor, you good?
He's good.
Okay. So on that note, I am going to play my favorite song in closing.
Amen.
All belong to you. Praise
Amen.
Be to God.
Have a blessed night.
Have a blessed night.
Good night.
Good night.
You
Love you
Bye-bye.
Guys. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.
Thank you. you.
Belongs to you. thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.